as a result of what God has done in us through salvation, leading again to sanctification, leading to see fruit come from our lives. This is the purpose of our life in Christ. The purpose of our life in Christ is to bear fruit for Christ. Remember, the Holy Spirit is longing and itching to see fruit in your life. I want you to stop and just pause and think this for a second. If you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ right now, the Holy Spirit is longing to bear fruit through your life.
Welcome to Live in the Light today. You are joining us in our very last message in the Great Prayers of the Bible series. Today, we are in Colossians chapter 1 with a message called A Prayer for Transformation. This is a message about how to pray for others. Throughout this series, we've been digging into great prayers found throughout Scripture, prayers for favor, renewal, and the incredible presence of God. If you'd like to go back and listen to those messages, you can do so anytime at liveinthelight.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, listener, these messages aren't necessarily how to pray lessons or even why we pray lessons, but more practical and inspirational from those great prayers in the Bible. We're seeing examples from Moses and David, and those are excellent ones to meditate on as we walk with God ourselves. Today's message is a prayer from Paul while he's in prison, praying for those who are carrying on in ministry. Open your Bibles with me if you can, and we will start today in Colossians chapter 1.
Let's go through life and they're barely in God's word. I don't have theological explanation for that, other than we're lazy and we love the world more than we love the Lord, and we find so many other things to do, entertain ourselves to death. Again, guys, fundamentally, listen, I've pleaded with you for 20 years on this, okay? The word of God is not a check mark. The word of God leads to the will of God and the wisdom of God. You want the wisdom, not without the word. It's impossible. Whatever you do, first priority. Woke up this morning, man. I was sitting outside, just a little porch, just sitting outside, and the humidity broke, the air's coming in, and Bible open, sitting there, and just like in a chair, and just staring at the street. I was like overwhelmed with the grace and the beauty and the quiet and the truth of God's word. Man, I was in Joshua. I was in Psalms 120 to 125. I was in Isaiah 61 and 62. I was in Matthew 10. I'm just like, I want time to slow down. I got to go preach. But you're sitting there and you're just like, you know, it was the funniest thing ever. I was sitting there and I was like on the porch in the chair, and literally it was like around the corner from where like our driveway is. There's like, all of a sudden this little creature came over. It was a skunk. It was like two feet from me around this corner. It was a baby skunk. It was sitting there hiding under a little bush. I almost freaked out, man. I got up and ran away. He turned his tail at me. I'm like, oh, that'd be bad. I can't preach today because a skunk got me. That would be embarrassing. Anyway, back to this. The word of God and the will of God and the wisdom of God. You want to be wise? Not without God's will. You don't have God's will apart from God's word. And see, this is so fundamentally important. I just get so excited about it because, like, men, women, like dads, like come on, man. Like, if we want to be used, we got to be in the word. So we're praying for others to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Number two, we are praying that their walk may be worthy of the Lord. Look at verse 10 now. Notice Paul says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. So super important. Again, loved ones right here. Paul's insisting now, right? Truth must lead to transformation, right? Truth by itself is not good enough. Not at all. The whole point of God's truth is to result in transformation within our lives. Think of it this way. What good is knowing God's will and having God's wisdom if there's no walk? What good is intellectually knowing God's will and then possessing God's wisdom and then just staying there dormant? That makes no sense. No. I understand God's will. I have his wisdom. Why? Now I can walk with wisdom. Now I can live out and make an impact in my life, bearing fruit and walking with the wisdom of God. Notice this too, right? This is so massive, all these years in our church. Information by itself is not good enough. Information must lead to transformation. The whole reason we teach the Bible is not to sit and accumulate information. It must result in more love for Christ, more fruit from our lives, a more worthy walk before the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful prayer. We pray for others as we do so. And what does transformation look like here? It looks like to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. A walk in a manner worthy, a worthy walk. Are my words and speech pleasing to the Lord? Are my thoughts pleasing to the Lord? What my eyes look at, are they pleasing to the Lord? Are my actions, my behavior, my attitudes pleasing to the Lord? Let's just get a little application here on the screen for us here. Notice the worthy walk. This is basic stuff, but this is also very important. The unworthy walk. Is my walk filled with humility or is it filled with pride? Is it unity or division? Is it purity, worthy, or is it lust and sexual immorality? A worthy walk is filled with love as opposed to jealousy and envy. Gratitude as opposed to complaining or entitlement. Joy as opposed to gloom. Selflessness as opposed to selfishness. A worthy walk bears fruit all over this passage as opposed to laziness. A worthy walk exalts Christ, loves Him, as opposed to idolatry. A worthy walk is led and filled by the Spirit of God as opposed to living by the flesh. A worthy walk is one that is generous as opposed to an unworthy walk that is greedy. See, Paul says you have the Word of God, the will of God, the wisdom of God that leads to the walk with God. The walk with God here, the worthy walk. This is the desire the Holy Spirit wants to see within our lives. We pray such things that people would choose to walk in a way that is worthy, fully pleasing from the Lord. Notice too, as just before we move on from verse 10, or at least the first half from verse 10, notice how verse 10 starts. You see there? So my translation, it says, so as to walk. Okay, so what Paul's doing now, he's building a sequence again, right? Everything, again, that's starting now in verse 10 is built on that which came in the truth of verse 9. So let's just build upon our sequence here as we go through this today. Very excited by this. Watch this. Ready? The Word of God leads to the will of God, leads to the wisdom of God, leads to our walk with God. See how excited I am about this alliteration today in God's Word? I mean, I'm not even putting these things here. All these words are there. The Word of God leads to the will of God, leads to the wisdom of God, which cannot stop there. It must then end up with our walk with God. And one more W, a worthy walk with God. What a great prayer. God, we pray for our children. We pray for our friends. We pray for our brothers and sisters. No worthy walk without the wisdom of God, the will of God, and the Word of God. Paul continues. He's building on this. Number three, you see it there. We pray that they would bear much fruit in their work now. In their work for God. Look at the rest of verse 10. Verse 10 says, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So loved ones, watch this. So much here today. It's so good. What is the validation of a worthy walk in the Lord? What is the authentication of a walk that is worthy in the Lord? The answer is fruit, work. The worthy walk in the Lord always leads to fruit or work for the Lord. Remember, this is just good theology, right? The Holy Spirit never lies dormant in the life of the genuine believer. At least He doesn't do it by choice. The Holy Spirit is never content to sit there in our lives and do nothing. The Holy Spirit, His will 100%, His will is to bear fruit that we might work again for the Lord as a result of what God has done in us through salvation, leading again to sanctification, leading to see fruit come from our lives. This is the purpose of our life in Christ. The purpose of our life in Christ is to bear fruit for Christ. Remember, the Holy Spirit is longing and itching to see fruit in your life. I want you to stop and just pause and think this for a second. If you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ right now, the Holy Spirit is longing to bear fruit through your life. Longing to. It's His purpose in you. Make it personal, man. You are designed as God's workmanship, Ephesians 2:10. Created in Christ Jesus beforehand for the foundations of the world that you might produce work again for Christ. Incredible. Our purpose is to bear fruit for him and the Holy Spirit, man. He longs to do this. We have not been saved and washed by the blood of Jesus to sit there. There's no way. Listen, we've been saved into his church, not to consume. That's a danger in this church. Because if you want to, you can come and sit at the back or sit wherever and do nothing and just consume. Like, that's easy to do here. We must understand, though, that that is not why we have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have not been saved by Jesus and spared the very wrath of God's judgment and all our sin been cleansed to sit there and do nothing. That is terrible theology. That is sinful. Rather, we have been saved by grace. We have been saved, listen, into the church of Jesus Christ to work, to bear fruit. So this is an important moment right now, okay? All who's here right now, but I love those standing on the theology and truth of God's word. Every single one of us here right now, if you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, you have been set apart to serve. See, listen, the outworking of your life in Jesus Christ is to walk in a manner worthy that you might bear fruit in work for Christ. What's the greatest single way we work for Christ? Is through the church. Let me just say it as clearly as I can. If you're here right now and this is your church home and you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're not serving this church in some form with the gifts that you've been given by God, that's a theological problem. There's a theological disconnect there because you have been given a gift by the Holy Spirit. Every single person alive in Jesus Christ has been given a spiritual gift, at least one. Many of you have multiples. You've been given an opportunity, a talent, a mina, as the parables teach. We cannot go through this life just sitting here. We got to get in the game and serve the Lord Jesus Christ somehow, some way, because that's what we've been designed to do. And this is the prayer for Paul. He's like, hey, man, you're walking worthy for the Lord, then you will also work. That's the outcome of this. Again, verse 10, in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Isn't that so interesting? So he's going through the whole sequence and he's like, in every good work and you will then in, he started with knowledge and now he comes back to knowledge and increasing in the knowledge of God. What does that mean there? What it means spiritually, it means the rich get richer. Let me emphasize spiritually. Spiritually, the rich get richer. See, what do you mean? Those who are growing in God's knowledge and God's wisdom and walking in a worthy manner, bearing fruit. What the Bible says here teaches us, as they work for the Lord, then they actually increase in knowledge for God. Look at this graphic here. The knowledge of God's will and the wisdom of God, and then bearing fruit and walking with God, then working and bearing fruit, walking, working fruit for God, where the Bible teaches this actually leads to an increase of the knowledge of God. You're reading the same Bible I am. So just by way of example, this week, those who are serving Hope Kids Camp, bless your hearts, man. Bless your heart. That's wonderful. That's so powerful. God promises in some way you set apart your week to serve the Lord Jesus Christ for the purposes of the church and his kingdom in some form, in some way, as you give yourself in wisdom to walk and work and bear fruit, the Bible says and God promises you will actually increase in the knowledge of God and intimacy with him. That makes so much sense, doesn't it? Because those who, again, almost all the time, right? Those who are most mature are those who are serving because they are obeying the word, and God blesses those who serve and blesses those who bear fruit. I mean, another example is you go on a mission trip, you come back, you're more on fire for God than ever maybe. God's blessing the fruitfulness in there because you learn so much more about the Lord as you engage in service and bearing fruit for him. You intimately interact with the Lord as you serve and use your gifts because you're in God's will, and then your closeness to God increases. Sure, there are seasons where there's fatigue and all this stuff happen. In the end, again, the trajectory is the circle comes around and you have more knowledge of the Lord than when you began. And this is why those who are mature in Christ are those who serve. those who bear fruit, because they know this is the mandate. This is the mission. This is what I'm set apart to do. So hopefully we're in this passage right now. We're motivated. I am. And we say, I want my life to count. I must bear fruit. And that's a tremendous takeaway. If you're sitting here today and you're like, I must bear fruit, I'm like, that's awesome. That's so awesome. And this is the purpose of our lives, to bear fruit in Jesus Christ. But don't miss this, okay? We want the fruit. We want the fruit, but notice how we get there. Let's do some logical theology right now. Logical theology, man. I'm taking so many laps around the track today because I want you guys to remember this, okay? This is what people often say. I wanna bear fruit for God. I wanna bear fruit for God. Okay, but not so fast. To bear fruit for God means what? Means this next. I gotta walk with God. If I wanna walk with God next, we do this. I need the wisdom of God. With the wisdom of God, then I need the will of God. And the will of God, then I need the word of God. I want to bear fruit for God. I want to bear fruit for God. We'll back up the train for a second. It all starts here. Word open, a heart loving the Lord, to seek his will, filled with his wisdom, then to walk with wisdom, to walk in a worthy manner, and then to work and bear fruit for the Lord. This is the path of blessing and power. This is what happens. And then when God fills us with his wisdom, then we obey his word as we are seeking to do that. Such powerful prayer for fuel for others in our lives and those around us. Fourthly, we pray that they would know the weight of God's power to endure. The weight of God's power. Look at verse 11. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience and joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share inheritance of the saints in light. Now, I admit with this last point, I am certainly going for the alliteration with a W, but it's irresistible to me again. It's irresistible to me, okay? But notice here in verse 11, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. That is so good to me. Listen, we are all so weak. We are all so weak. We must be strengthened by God's power. How? According to his glorious might. His glorious might, the inexhaustible, unlimited, infinite power of God, the weight of God's power, the glorious strength and magnitude and weight of God's power. But notice what God's awesome power is used for. This is so interesting as my mind was renewed again this week in verse 11. Notice his infinite power is used to produce in our lives. Look at it, verse 11. Endurance, patience, and joy. Isn't that interesting? May be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. For what? Often we think, well, his glorious power and glorious might, that we see massive miracles. I'm going to raise the dead. I'm going to walk around and see the waters parted. These awesome, again, world-changing miracles, which are incredible, again, in scripture. But notice that's not what God's power is ultimately directing us towards here in this text. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. What? How about this? To endure. How about to make it another day? Strengthened with all power that you might have patience. We'll unpack that in a second. Strengthened with his glorious might. What? To know joy in the midst of hardship and trial. That's a blessing to me today. We receive his power, loved ones, ultimately here to endure. Man, just to continue on. Again, the biblical emphasis on endurance and perseverance, it's so massive. Charles Spurgeon said, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Some of you just got that. notice though, this is a huge one for many people here today. You are strengthened with power to persevere. This resonates deeply with me. How many times in the course of the last 25 years, needing God's power to not give up? Strengthened with God's power to endure, to persevere. Who's that for today? It's interesting. He also says patience. Patience here in the Greek can mean long suffering, but it's interesting. The Greek word, again, long suffering, but listen, particularly with reference to people is how that word is used. Isn't this so interesting? God, I need your glorious power. I need your glorious might. I need your incredible, unlimited strength to have patience and long suffering in relationships. Fascinating. God, strengthen me with your power that I might have patience in very difficult relationships or tear-forming relationships or just challenging people or just situations I'm encountering. God, I need your power to have long-suffering in my life. Amazing to me. God strengthens us to remain under the trial, James 1, to be steadfast. Notice he also gives us his glorious strength and power to know joy, to give thanks. Verse 12, the glorious might and power of God in our lives, what produces supernatural joy and gratitude. God, fill me with your power and strength that I might know your joy, that I might have gratitude, which is unexplainable in human terms. So again, for me and Jill, a very recent example, our daughter Bliss in cancer surgery a week and a half ago or so, and in a moment of trial, in a moment of insecurity and vulnerability, all of a sudden, through the massive prayers of so many of you and others, in a moment of great uncertainty, you feel that way, all of a sudden strength comes, all of a sudden overwhelmed by joy even. Like unexplainably sensing God's power and your daughter is in the operating room, whatever, even gratitude, which just blew my mind. How? Because people pray. Paul's praying that in the midst of their trial, in the midst of their weakness, in the midst of their difficulty, endurance, patience, joy, gratitude. That is awesome. And that is what the Lord wants to do and does in our lives as we seek him, as we pray for others. And then notice the remainder of, what a text. Look at verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So verse 12 tells us, why do we endure? Why do we have reason for joy? Because in Jesus Christ, we are saints, it says. Sinners, yes. Saints, yes. In Jesus Christ, you see verse 12? Circle, underline, highlight, inheritance. Inheritance of the saints in light. Hey, church, listen up. One day soon, Jesus is returning. Hey, church, listen up. One day soon, the trumpet will sound. One day soon, Jesus Christ coming riding in the clouds. One day soon, you will stare and see Jesus Christ face to face. One day soon, you will be aware of the glory that is yours in the Lord Jesus Christ. One day soon, again, you will look him in the eyes and you will receive the crown of righteousness all because of what Jesus Christ did. Can you imagine, like, again, we got caught up in earthly inheritances and stuff like that. Can you imagine when the Lord Jesus Christ gives to you the full inheritance that is his? Like, you know, yeah, you want to clap for that back? We clap for that. Amen. I would clap for that too. That's so good. Way to go, brother and sister in the back. Way to lead. Listen. Like we think this world has some stuff to offer. Again, listen. I'm not making this up, man. This is true. Like this is just good biblical truth. You and I, if you are alive in Jesus, one day soon, you will be granted the inheritance of the King. What's that going to look like? Pretty darn good. It's going to be awesome. This is why we ultimately give thanks. This is why, no matter what circumstance we're in, can we never diminish our inheritance. No matter how we feel, it cannot take away our inheritance. No matter who comes against us, we'll never diminish our inheritance. No matter what happens in life, we'll never, ever take away from us the reality of the glory and the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Now, let me be so clear about this, okay? This is only true for those who have received Jesus Christ by grace through faith. If you are apart from Jesus Christ, this is not your promise. But you can receive Jesus Christ by believing in him for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus Christ, you are my Savior. I am a sinner. I confess you as Lord. I believe that you died for my sins and rose from the dead. You are Lord. You are driving my car now. I surrender to you. I give up. I confess you as Lord and Savior. And then the person, the man or woman, child who does that, then they will receive the inheritance of everlasting life. Never to die. Never to die. The hope of Jesus is your hope. This is why we are filled with gratitude. So, such a sweet passage. Let's just take one more time, put the sequence on the screen again here just to flush it out. That's a lot of W's. Praise the Lord. Love it. Notice. The word of God leads to the will of God, leads to the wisdom of God, leads to a walk with God, leads to work for God. And then we might know the weight, strength, power, glory of God. You say, I want that. Not without working, not without walking, not without wisdom, not without God's will, not without God's word. Hey, I'm basically begging you today. You have one life as I do. Do not spend your one life entertaining yourself on social media. Please, brothers, sisters, I appeal to you. You cannot argue this. A failure to this, and this is so foolish. To stand before the Lord at the end. Again, whatever it takes, we have every resource you can imagine in this church to help you grow in this. Curriculum, classes, people, groups, everything's all there to grow in Christ, to know his strength and power. What will it take? You're hearing today. Do something about it. Resolve, pray, accountability, seek the Lord. Again, because this is where life is lived and this is what the Lord uses. Your purpose is to bear fruit, as is mine, only done again in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this way, I'm praying Colossians 1, 9 to 12. You will remember it for a long time. So I have written in my Bible the sequence of word and will and wisdom and walk and work and wait. I had that all there because I don't want to forget it. And I can teach others about it as we are today. Yes, Lord, do it. Amen, church? Do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word so much. It is incredible. You are incredible. You are awesome. This is a very, very important day. And so we pray, God, it starts with a desire and passion for your word, to know your will. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, that you may discern again the will of God, what is good and pleasing to the Lord. God, help us to be wise enough today to hear and to say, I can't argue with this. This is so important. It's so clear and so true. I need your wisdom that I might walk properly, that I might work for you, that I might know your weight of power and strength in my life. And may we use this as great prayer, Lord, for so many others that we know and love. Thank you for how you teach us so clearly. And I pray now in the song, which is such a great application, Lord, it would mean so much to us today. Bless this church. Bless your people. I'm so thankful for your children here today, Lord. And I pray even just this weekend at this time would be a massive sense of God working and blessing and filling and clarity and laser precision and light bulbs and motivation and excitement and prayer and power. May it be so, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Rob, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light.